This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League, and a little bit of Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester City capturing their League Cup comfortably over an underwhelming Spurs. Liverpool's top four hopes take a major hit thanks to Joe Willock's late equaliser. Chelsea's 1-0 win at West Ham and the controversial red card against Fabian Balbuena. Arsenal supporters protesting outside the Emirates before their defeat to Everton. And we share our thoughts on the upcoming social media boycott by English football. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Robbie, we have a bit of silverware given out, my friend. Manchester City, there was talk of quadruple. That went with losing to Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final. But the League Cup was today, my friend, and they faced a Spurs side led out by young Ryan Mason, the interim manager right now. Of course, Jose Mourinho was fired recently. Pretty one-sided, wasn't it, Rob? I mean, was it a little disappointing that it wasn't particularly competitive match?
Yeah. Listen, I think we all expected Spurs to have less of the ball, maybe break quickly with counter-attacks, look to have some possession at times where they could frustrate, stifle. Wasn't really the case, Rob. I mean, they went to a first-half Spurs where really didn't touch the ball, had no real press. They didn't look any real tactic in terms of where or how they were going to win the ball back. That doesn't take anything away from City, who dominated the football, whose passing and movements with the false nine again looked a real threat with Phil Foden starting in there, and then a couple of times Sterling rotated, Mahrez. We saw Gundogan and De Bruyne just dominating the game, Rob. And it's almost like, well, I think is it four successive League Cup wins now for Man City and Pep? I
mean, that's pretty.
We're going to have to start naming the trophy after him, aren't we? Like the Pep Guardiola trophy. I mean, four straight wins is ridiculous. Yeah. And I read a stat that one of those that floated around. In the time he's been in English football, he's lost one League Cup tie. That was in 2016-17 against Man United in his first season. So, I mean, he takes it serious. It's the first one of the bigger three that he's looking for. The Premier League looks pretty done and dusted as well. And then, obviously, the big one, the one that really will define him and his time in the football club, the Champions League. And I'm sure we'll go on to talk about that after. But today, they got the job done. The professional, I thought there were some really good performances. I thought Fernandinho, Rob, just comes in and is an absolute kind of diamond. he manages the game from the middle of the park. He's got those tactical fouls. He's intelligent and his understanding of what to do and where to play. I think he's, I read somewhere as well, he's got 6 League Cup winners. 6 of them. Yeah. I mean, so clubs haven't even got 6. He's got 6 of them. So, no, well played to Man City. And the other thing, just before I let you jump in, mate, I saw 8,000 fans in the stadium. 2,000 Spurs, 2,000 Man City, and 4,000, I think, key workers, NHS workers. Mm. Oh, it did not feel good, mate. It did not feel like 80,000 were in Wembley. Oh, that's football. That's what we love.
It's funny. I'll just continue on that, Rob. So we're in the studio. Of course, we had Premier League games today in and around this League Cup final. And I managed to see the Cup final between the little window that we were off. And when we got back in the studio, Rebecca was saying, I think in the BBC, or BBC Radio, the commentators basically said in the middle of the game, like, we've all waited so long for this moment, let's just lay out, keep quiet. And I think there was a loud moment, Rob, big atmosphere. And apparently, Rebecca, I think she saw it on social media. And I think just the sound of the commentators laying out and then the chant and singing of songs from the fans, she said it was like hairs on the back of your neck, like it was goosebumps, like kind of weird and eerie. That I think that's the first time for a year or something there's been a proper...
Well, over a year,
So that's really, really cool. Yeah, absolutely right. My goodness, haven't we all waited? Everybody, haven't we waited long enough to see the passion, the emotion on the the singing and everything else? Yeah, I mean, we've all been very patient about it, but my goodness, it's going to be good when they come back in full time. Yeah, I'll tell you what. First of all, I thought, Rob, on this game is like I remember chatting on the last pod and sort of saying, well, the way that the games are going, this will be, you know, Ferran Torres, it'll be Jesus, it'll be Fernandinho, it'll be kind of the other team, if you like. And then the A team, the Bernardo Silvas and the Gundogans and Fodens will probably be rested for Wednesday, the PSG away game. So I was a little surprised. Zach Steffen played, which is good for him.
Yeah,
the goalkeeper stayed, and there's a couple of... But for the most part, it's a pretty strong side. Roger was rested, but you still had De Bruyne, Phil Foden, and
Mahrez.
Mahrez was playing. So he didn't play in the other cup game. So, I guess you'd have to explain to Ferran Torres and Jesus players that have played in the competition to this point why he didn't play them. But I do like the Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne. It was Foden this game, the double false nine, really.
Two
kind of forwards. They basically go everywhere. And I thought that part of it was cool. And just they dominated the game, Rob, wasn't it? And, fast start meant business. There was a big chance for Phil Foden early doors. I mean, it's, you know, Aymeric Laporte scores a kind of a clever header, really, and just bounces in over the line on the corner there. So I just think it was a little disappointing. You know, it's great to see Spurs fans there, you know, haven't been for ages. And it just looked a little one-sided to me, Rob. I mean, we know the issues with Spurs have got Rob and what might happen going forward. Ryan Mason won't be the permanent manager. Just kind of picking up on, I guess, the issues for Spurs, Rob, and the big stories of Spurs is about not only the manager, but that's tough to say who they're going to bring in right now, but some star players. We know we'll get to Harry Kane, Rob, but let's just start with Heung-min Son. The camera, you know, he was seen on the pitch afterwards. Who was it was with him? I can't think of how there was
Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne. He was next to Kevin De Bruyne. Yeah, they were standing there, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. He's looked pretty down in an interview when they lost before. Is he at risk of wanting away, Robbie, or is he just an emotional player that just felt like so disappointed that his team didn't really lay a glove on City?
I think a bit of both. I think he carries the pride of his nation, where he's from, the people that support him back home. I think that weighs heavy on him, and he wants to win for them. You know, there's no doubt he's a superstar, and what he's done for that region and playing at the level he plays. I think sometimes we get a little bit obsessed with Kane and don't probably give him enough credit. He would be as big a miss, and I say that as big a miss as Harry Kane, what he does, Rob. There aren't many what can do what he does at that pace, at that intensity. I mean, he plugs into Liverpool, plug and play. He's your Mane. He's that wide guy who can get your goals ready to go. So there is those kind of you look at him and think, what's he thinking about the club? The next manager. If Harry goes, you add then the Dele Alli situation. Not sure where his career is at. You add Gareth Bale, more likely going back to Real Madrid. And you get to the big one, what does Harry Kane, having now lost the League Cup, so there's no cup, very unlikely they're going to make the top four to make Champions League. What does Harry Kane, at the peak of his powers, and I didn't actually think he was 100% today, I'm not sure if he's still carrying the injury and got a bit of a knock on his knee and didn't quite look like he, apparently didn't have a shot on target, which is it tells you everything. But what does Harry Kane sit at home at the end of this season, whether he goes to the Euros and has a great Euros, but there's no doubt these suitors out there. What does he do now, Rob? Because this decision is the key period in his career.
I'll tell you exactly what he does, Rob. He respectfully, in whichever way, has to inform Spurs that I think he's going to want to move on. Absolutely think, just... With situations, with the Super League thing, with Mourinho's firing, with losing the cup final, who knows who's going to be there in charge. He's done an amazing job for this club for many, many years. I would be amazed if he doesn't, within himself, thinks this is the time to go. I think he's only 28 in the summer. He's absolutely in his peak. I would be amazed if he doesn't think, I want to win some trophies. He's won nothing, Rob. I mean, he's such a player at such a point in his career.
Golden boot, isn't it? Golden boot. He joined Golden Boot, wasn't he?
Yeah, okay. Golden boots.
I know what you mean.
It's just whether...
Do you think a high-profile top manager, A, can help change his mind, or B, have a conversation and say, I'm going here. Is this somebody? Does Nagelsmann do that? Does Nagelsmann come in, say, okay, I might lose this one. We're going that one. I'm keeping Son. I'm going to work with Dele Alli. I'm going to bring two or three more in. We're going to play a different style of football. And I hear and I know what you're nodding. It's like that might take two years. He's 30 years of age then.
Yeah, but it's still an interesting concept, Rob. Yeah. Because Julian Nagelsmann. It would be exciting. Has he had enough of this now, Rob? Wasn't there I'm going to stay. I want to get in the new stadium. Then we're going to try and win something. And then Mourinho's come on. Let's Mourinho. He can go on and on and on. And Nagelsmann would be, I think most people think it would be a fantastic fit for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. I just think he, and if his move doesn't materialise, which I got to say, I don't think it will. Given the money that Daniel Levy is going to want, and in these times, there can't be many clubs, Rob, that's going to want to pay £100 million for a top player. And then it comes down to, how much does Levy need the money? If Spurs, with a new stadium, et cetera, the amount of money they've lost and the revenues they thought they'd
need. I would think they need some money, mate. I would think.
So they might say, we'll cash in now. We need this money. And it might not be a fee that's prohibitive to those very few superpowers that might try and buy him. But I do think he will look to leave. Now, whether that happens again, I actually doubt it. And then there might be no one's going to pay the money. Nagelsmann's here if he gets Nagelsmann, and then he cracks on. But I think he'll want to go. I want to get your take, Rob. Do you think that he in himself will want a new challenge?
I've said for the last 12 months, I think, Rob, I saw the look when they went out of the Europa League. The shot then told me everything. Yeah. Europa League, Zagreb, wasn't it?
Embarrassed.
I'm done. I think you speak to Spurs fans. One of my good friends is a big Spurs fan. I think Spurs fans would understand it, mate. I think they understand the club.
I agree.
To that point, I would say right now, Rob, Daniel Levy's got one of his biggest decisions he's going to make for this football club.
Yeah.
Because you get the wrong man and Harry Kane leaves and one or two others pop off and there's a bit of unrest in the camp, that this football club could be seventh, eighth, ninth in the table for the next couple of seasons, unless they get it right. Because there's a lot of inconsistency. There's a lot of, is this guy good or not? You know, is Alderweireld's time done? Is Dier really the centre-half? Is Sanchez going to be good enough? Is Aurier, can you rely on him? Is Reguilón good enough defensively? You know, you go through all these great, you know, on good days, good players, there's Sokos and Højbjerg. But how many do you really think are good enough to get your top four?
Isn't it the most scary thing that the big boys in the Premier League must fear is the word rebuild?
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of the team players aren't good enough, Rob, or they're coming. I mean, good young players are so critical. Can you imagine feeling that you've got to bring in five first team players in any particular market or in a couple of windows? How hard it would be to try and bring in the quality needed to kind of rebuild half your squad. Arsenal Football Club are going through it right now. Now, they might get a little bit of a kick out of the good young players that are coming through.
Academies.
It might not be as many as you might think, but you know, it's all very well and good people saying rebuild and all that. But I tell you, you want to get in that top four in the Premier League, you've got to have a good side. And those players to make good teams, top four teams, don't grow on trees. I don't know. It could be difficult times, and you're right there, Rob. If the right manager's not brought in, you know, then you know, it could be really difficult. I tell you, it's going to be a really interesting 1, 2, 3 years ahead in terms of some of these clubs that have been set, and we've seen their teams, whether it's Liverpool or see, Chelsea's exciting, isn't it? That's what was the good young players, a lot of money, but you sort of feel they're all set for a bit now, really, and won't have to rebuild for a long, long period of time. Does that well, does he, Abramovich? But the others might have to, which could be difficult and expensive.
Just before we move on, mate, a couple of things I just wanted to get to. I thought it was interesting today, and you went to the strength of the team, and then it looked like all business for Pep today. He wanted to get this 1-1. No Sergio Aguero, no kind of romantic little give him a go, although he's won his sixth one. It was like about winning the game, about all business. Which takes us through to the Champions League game this week. At PSG on Tuesday. Huge game. Obviously, we know the strengths of PSG and what they can
Wednesday,
do.
Wednesday, Robin. It's on Wednesday.
It's the second one in Paris. Yeah. And what we know what they can do on one night, 90 minutes, if Mbappe and Neymar are in the mood. So our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook have given us some odds for Tuesday. It's Wednesday. The second game is the second one on the Wednesday, PSG stand as favourites at plus 205.
Just for this game, Robert? Just the first
leg? Just for this game. First leg games, Paris. So PSG plus 205. The draws at plus 275. And Man City to win is plus 115.
Yeah, I think that's a brave man, isn't it? To back go, the favourites from Man City.
Plus 115 against a PSG team who we know in this competition certainly can have moments, mate. Can have 20 minutes, can't they?
Yeah. It's an absolutely fascinating blimmin' game, mate.
In
terms of styles and counter-attack and pace against possession, Mbappe and Neymar trying to link and trying to, you know, find a way through. They kind of had a bit of it versus Bayern Munich where they had to kind of concede possession territory but still found a way through. That's why it's fascinating, because it's kind of, it's a little bit Pep's kryptonite really, Rob, counter-attacking pace. If City are not on it with their passing, they can get in behind and do some damage. So,
Pop did it with Spurs, didn't he? He did it with his Spurs team, so he knows the formula as well.
Yeah. Interesting though. So I think the little bit of value there might be on a PSG win with plus 205. But again, the odds are pretty good odds there and not far out, I wouldn't think. But yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait for these.
This week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I mean, get in front of your telly. Don't get better, is it? Great European football. Yeah. Let's talk about a team who were desperate to get into the top four Champions League football next year, having relinquished their Premier League title. Liverpool, Robbie Musto, at home to Newcastle. In a spell of form where you think things were starting to pick up a little bit, you know, get a little bit of momentum. Liverpool at home, score in the first couple of minutes, Mo Salah with a beautiful, instinctive striker's goal. Beautiful finish. And you're thinking, here we go. Here we go. We're ready to play. Thiago's in midfield. He's pulling the strings, the shapes, accommodating all the attacking players. And it falls flat, Robbie Musto. And it falls flat again to the point where late on, little careless, don't defend well, and give up key points in the challenge. Back-to-back weeks now, you look at Leeds and you look at Newcastle, where they've been ahead and they've give up points. And it's going to cost them, Rob.
It's going to cost them, and I don't see the top four happening for them. Man United next on Sunday, which is critical. Mm. Maybe they go there and win, and then it maybe changes things. But I mean, the team was an attacking side. I like the way they started. I like some of the football. Firmino made some of these lovely through balls for some of those runners. You know, one of my early notes in this game is like, this game should be done already.
Yeah.
The first time they should be out of sight with a second goal, possibly a third goal. But they just at the moment. You know, whether it's, I mean, Mo Salah scores an amazing goal, then he misses one-on-one where he goes through. Yeah. Sadio Mane, also, when you think he should score or sweep it into the back of net, he takes a touch. It's just the same story of not ruthless in front of goal that we know that they usually are. And defensively, they're just not secure. They're not secure. And again, late on, not only was that goal from Callum Wilson, wasn't it? Went through a hit.
They come back. Yeah, rebounded.
And
back,
then,
yeah.
I mean, but how could they let it happen? Like a minute later, you know, there's your, right through the middle.
There's your warning. You got your warning. Now just, you know, get everything out your half. You know, defend for your life. I mean, it's interesting, Rob. I just want to go back to a point you made because I was starting, you know, I'm a little look at things and think about Liverpool. And again, just some stats to back up things. Apparently, in the home game since the turn of the year, they've had 140 shots and four goals. Now, teams, you see some teams who don't create that many good chances. And you think, well, it's okay till the last third. But they just, Liverpool are still creating chances.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it isn't like, oh, they've gone off at the top end. They're not creating. They're not looking dangerous. All that's happening.
Yeah.
It's just that bit of somebody having the you know, and you it's amazing that we have to take Salah out of it because the amount of goals he's got, but it's a front line that is the thing that was their point of difference last season. When those front three, we would say, wouldn't you? They rely on those front three; they're going to win them the game. There's no reliance on them anymore.
Let me chuck in a little different look at this game as well, Rob. Jurgen Klopp, substitutions.
Yeah.
Substitutions.
Millie.
After 58 minutes, right? Mm.
Yeah,
Jota is off.
Yeah, Milner is off. Yeah,
Thiago,
77. Yeah. He was running the game
off for Curtis Jones.
Yeah.
Now it's not very often where we pick up or would criticize Jurgen Klopp for some subs. I think he has made a few strange runs in the past.
Yeah.
But this was like, wow. And listen, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. You know, Newcastle. I mean, this is Newcastle United. I'm saying here, but Newcastle are pushing. And I guess he thought, I need to secure things. Let's get back to my 4-3-3. James Milner in the field. Let's make sure nothing happens here. I mean, how many times have we seen it where other clubs were like, wow, we've got a bit of impetus here. They're kind of happy to sit back and defend, and they weren't going for Newcastle United. Mm-hmm. And it kind of married up with them making their substitutions of Willock and Callum Wilson. I'm not saying you saw it coming, but I'll ask you, Rob, was it a mistake to go with that defensive philosophy instead of we should have had more goals?
Yeah,
if we keep going, then we are going to get that second goal, which kills the game off.
Do you know what I would say? And you're right, I had the substitution of the Milner and Thiago coming off Curtis Jones. Do you know what, Rob? Do you know what I'm going to say on this one? And it's definitely not an out, and it's definitely a different look at it. I think the week and the stuff that's happened this week, I think Jurgen Klopp was a little bit. I think he took a backward step. I think he took a passive. I think his head wasn't. And I can understand more. I just don't think the Jurgen Klopp of last season wouldn't have done. I don't think would have done those things. And I think that's, I think it tells you about where he's at and that's happening with the club and what's happening with all the Euro talk and then what's happening with the team. And he's seen the chances and he's probably fearing things a little bit and gone a little bit backward step, which is not really Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp's big thing at Liverpool is front foot, forward, confident, aggressive. And it buys into the, are they that team anymore? Are they still that team?
You know what? We're going to hear from Jurgen Klopp in a minute, Rob. We're going to run that interview in a minute, or that just some post-game interview. But just before that, his interview before the game, Rob, and talking about everybody needs to calm down. Pundits, ex-players, everybody needs to calm down. Yeah. And I remember thinking, I'm not sure that's right, Jurgen, right now, after what the serious nature of what's happened. And I think Rebecca came in the studio and we talked about it. I'm like, well, I'm not sure people should need to calm down. I don't think Jurgen Klopp should be trying to calm people down. I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to retain the connection between the fans and the football club. I get that. It's quite a big deal, Jurgen Klopp. And people are going to react to it. Yeah. And I noticed there's a lot of fallout, like bigger names than me in the UK saying, I don't need you to tell me what, you know, when to calm down.
How the fans might have felt
if this would have gone through. So I think that was a little bit misjudged. And I just swing it back to you, Rob, before we hear from him and say, are his emotions between disappointing season,
there's a lot been going on, hasn't there?
Yeah. Playing with him a little bit. And he's just not quite the same coach before all this stuff was going on this season.
And mirrored in his team and mirrored in things. And let's not forget, and we go back to, his mother passed away, Rob, in COVID. He wasn't able to go there. Those things stay with you. The week they've had with the ownership group and the European Super League and all that and some personal spats with a couple of pundits and things. And then his team aren't performing.
All the injury issues, Rob.
Injuries. And, you know, he's got no Jordan Henderson, maybe, who you want on the pitch. He's got no Van Dijk. His team are missing the chances that normally he's 2-0 up. He can just... I think all that's going on in his head. And he's human. He's a human being. We forget it. You know, we all have those moments where I might just be sitting there on the side going, we're 1-0, let's just keep this. I'll keep what we've got. We'll win 1-0 and we'll move on. And you're right. And let's point to the interview, because it was interesting after. He was very honest. He was very open in saying, you know, he thought that the performance that his team put in didn't really deserve them to be playing Champions League football next season.
If you deserve it, you deserve it. I didn't see us that we deserve today playing Champions League next year. We have another 5 games. We'll see what we can do until then. We have a few days until we play Man United. So it will be a tough one as well. But we learn or we don't play Champions League. That's it.
If they don't play Champions League, Robbio.
Yeah.
What's going to be the vibe at the football club? This talk, you know, we were chatting about it today off camera. There isn't got to be a kind of a rebuild, has there? Or what needs fresh?
No, it's not a full rebuild.
There's no issue with the players kind of like Jurgen Klopp's been there, what, is it like 5 years now?
Five years.
The message isn't getting old, is it, Rob? I mean, he can go again, can't he?
I mean, without answering your question, I could put out that it could feel like a Pochettino time. He's obviously not won, Pochettino didn't win the trophies, but similar kind of time, the idea of the players have kind of got this now worked out. Is the intent, can they continue with that intensity? Does that wear off after so long? Can only play that so long? I don't think so. It would be my personal opinion. I think getting everybody back fit straight away makes you look and feel different. 2 or 3 players in and out, some of those fringe players who not pushing as they should be, not getting enough from the Shaqiris, the Oxlade-Chamberlains, the Origis, you know, time to move them on, Rob. Naby Keita, maybe it's time to either, you know, make some kind of decision. Is there a little change of the way they're going to do it? You see bits of Thiago yesterday where you think, is there a different way we can mould this? The front three, you're going to have to make a big call. One has to go. We've got to change the chemistry. For me, one has to go. And if it's Salah because he wants to go, then you've got to think about replacing his goals and then keeping the chemistry. Is Firmino, can this team win the things it wants to win with a brilliant footballer who connects things but isn't going to give you enough goals? Because if that's the case, Rob, I've got to find goals from somewhere else.
I've got an uncomfortable feeling in my stomach, my friend.
I
remember. Well, I'm just, you know, the more I'm, you know, let's remember where he came from and how that impact was at Borussia Dortmund, and how that wave of everything, wave of enthusiasm and energy and of quality and of spirit and of atmosphere and of that football club and those fans, and what he achieved there. I'm just thinking about the end of it and how it fell away. I remember looking at their league table and thinking, wow, what is going on at Dortmund? It fell away pretty quickly, Rob. And at the time, it was like everything, you know, the whole world was on Jurgen Klopp at Borussia Dortmund. Why couldn't this team go again?
Yeah.
I mean, just... I just think there is a possibility that it won't get back to the quality and the excitement and that modern day football.
It's interesting. When you say won't get back, do you think he can't get it back or this group? Is it more about the group or more about
I think it's more about actually the connection, the newness, the freshness. Of Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Firmino, and these players, and Trent, and Robertson, like, look at this guy. Look how we're going. Look how we're growing. Look at the signings we've made. Look at Van Dijk's signing.
So that's done now, you think?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to talk through what I'm thinking, Rob. Like, I'm not saying that can't come back again, but I got to be honest and say it wouldn't surprise me if it is hard to bring it back in. Even with Van Dijk comes back and they get some of the injured players back. I'm just trying to put in there, Robert, I want your kind of sense on it as well. Like, could this be difficult to kind of... They've got to get a good start next season, Robert. It all could start... Pressures could start building again into early next season if they don't get a good start and those issues we're seeing now aren't totally resolved.
Yeah, I hear you. And I like the argument. I think it's a healthy argument, and I'm not saying one way or the other. I mean, people suggest, and listen, we know the situation where people have long-term injuries in ACLs like Van Dijk. But I've seen players in my football club teammates who've had an ACL, everything's fit the other summer. They come back pre-season, something else, the hamstring goes, the back's off. It takes them 3 months to get back fully running. You know, so... The Gomez and Van Dijk being fit and should be ready and should be stopped, absolutely is no guarantee that totally happens. What the question I would ask, where and the bit I don't know, and I'd be interested in your view, because like how the Dortmund thing went and you know, managers go have a certain way, like we see Mourinho's ways out and things happen a certain way. With Jurgen Klopp, has he got the ability to do it different? Can he come differently? So it's not, it doesn't have to be the same formula, the same way to do it again. Is he smart enough? Is he got enough to say, okay, you know, Klopp Mark II?
Yeah, well, that's the question, Rob. And I think that's a great point. I'm looking back and thinking of Sir Alex Ferguson, one, Mark II, 3.0, 4.0, made the teams. You know, even Pep, Rob. You know, he's been there quite a few years now. You start asking the same thing. Well, he's been there a long time. Are they getting fed up with the intensity? Well, he's kind of pivoted in a small detail and they've gone again. Now, they absolutely could do that, but that is the question. That is the question, Robin. And if there is going to be a little shake-up of the team. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if I was putting it into percentages, I think I would feel like 60% or even a little more that they can get back and be they'll be right there. They'll be right there again on next season. Yeah. But it's a kind of a big chunk, 35-40%, like...
From a champion.
It's just, that's just an early shout, Rob, and of course we'll...
The other one as well, Rob, and I didn't know how it fit, is, you know, the Bayern Munich job, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, who knows? Does he go back to Germany and want to take a Bayern Munich? Who knows? Listen... Just speculation, just throwing it out there. But before we move on, because we've got plenty to get through, I just wanted to talk about my underappreciated player of the week. And he's a young man who is part of Arsenal Football Club. He's 21 years of age. His name's Joe Willock. He's been out on loan to Newcastle. And it's not an easy... Well, one, I would say loans can be quite difficult, especially when you're that young. You're moving from one end of the country, London, the capital, to the northeast of Newcastle. probably away from a lot of close family and friends during a pandemic, a talented young footballer who's probably had to wait his turn to be regular or to try and get a regular spot in the team. Joe Willett, Robbie Musto, has come up with 4 key goals since he's been at the football club. Started with Southampton, Tottenham, West Ham, and now Liverpool. But points and performances and moments in games that have contributed greatly to what looks like Newcastle staying in the league. I think his commitment to the club, he could almost be, and sometimes, and I don't want to be colloquial in that, you know, sometimes a kid from London can go up north and then think, oh, I can't wait to get back home. It's not for me. I don't, you know, all those things. It doesn't seem like there's any of that. This talk that Steve Bruce loves his personality around the dressing room, thinking about wanting to maybe make it a signing where he can start a build around him, to the point where I was reading a few Arsenal fans this week and saying, why are we letting people like Willett go out on loan when we can't get goals ourselves? You know, could he be doing something for us? I just thought, for a young player who, well, doesn't always get the headlines, has sometimes been a bit part player for Newcastle this season, come up with big moments, come up with big goals, and looks really committed to Newcastle, when I'm sure at some point when things weren't going well, when Steve Bruce was getting speak and that, he could have probably thought, oh, it doesn't matter to me, I'll be going back to Arsenal at the end of the season. Just wanted to give Joe Willock a little mention.
I'll add, Rob, before we move on, that he did an interview after the game. What a lovely young man. What a lovely interview, Rob. Humble, trying my best here to do whatever I can to help the team. I mean, you know, it's just like everything you've just said, you could see it in this 3-minute interview after the game. So great. It's a good shout for him. What a nice guy. What a smart, eloquent young man. And yeah, I mean, like off the bench, and that's real, real help for us, the team, even though he's on loan.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one on our little list. And it was a big game for the top four. West Ham United 0, Chelsea Football Club 1, Timo Werner in the 44th minute. An important goal for Chelsea, obviously, an important goal for Timo Werner. Yeah. And now, Rob, is that enough? Like, do they'll maintain the mojo to finish in the top four? Are we almost locking them in, Chelsea?
Listen, this is football, mate. The week we've had, we don't lock anything in. They're 58 points. They've got it. They've got a grip on it. I think they look serious enough. They look focused enough. There's still some things to work out, but I think now they've got hold of it, Rob, it's gonna take a lot to wrestle it from them. And you know, other teams around them good enough to sustain enough wins. This was always going to be a challenging game. I thought they had a little bit too much for West Ham in terms of their tactical setup, in terms of the way they played. But Kante and Jorginho did a great job in midfield. Kante is just a godsend when you need someone just in that middle of foot part to break things up. We had the Mount and Pulisic under Werner. Werner gets his goal, which is important. I mean, he gets one, he misses one. I still think he feels better that he's got one more, and I think it was only his third goal in 32 appearances. But he's involved, he's around it. Again, he did an interview and he comes across well, Rob, and he's sort of tongue-in-cheek, like, talks about the one he missed. So, I think that you're right. I think it's going to take something big and something drastic now for Chelsea not to finish top four.
West Ham came back into the game, Rob, in the second half, my friend.
And
that's what I like about this West Ham side, that they absolutely were on the back foot, and we've seen that before. And but when they open up a little bit and they have to go at teams, they ain't bad. They pass the ball pretty well. Now, right towards the second part of the second half, it looked like they were going to give it a go. And then we have an incident, and there's a red card given to Fabian Balbuena that cleared the ball down the line. And in his follow-through, he goes into the calf of, can't remember who it was.
Chilwell.
Now, of course, Ali Dixon and Arlo were on the commentary, and Lee Dixon was like, well, what's he meant to do with it? And I'm in the studio, and I'm like, well, surely not. I mean, like, I think, you know, most former players, you kind of know when a player's trying to do somebody. I just haven't seen any former player, I don't think, say that he tried to do him. Did you think he tried to do him, Rob, or was it kind of a poor call?
And it's not a former, you know, it's not a former players' club that if one says we all stick together. Listen, we often have very different views between you and I, between other people who work in the media. I saw it, Rob, and then you start to see stills, or you start to see where, you know, the back of his boot looks like the calf, and it looks it's damning. But when you look at the action, like real time, of a guy kicking a ball that he follows through, that he catches the back of the leg, I thought it was a terrible decision. I thought it was a terrible, terrible decision.
Yeah.
I mean, what have we got to? So now you've got to kick and almost pull your leg back to make sure you have no contact with the player who's closing you down. Come on. That's not the game.
I saw a funny quote. Like, he kicked the ball with excessive force. I mean, it's like he couldn't have to stroke the ball in a manner that means he can't follow through. Unless he's the nastiest player in the world and the cleverest player in the world.
I don't think you can be that clever, Rob. I'm not sure I've ever met people, and I know I've worked with some people who knew how to tackle and leave one on you. I don't think he was that clever to be able to do that from that situation.
I'm with you, and I tell you, David Moyes looked like he was raging afterwards. You kind of go on social media after the day's out, and you're like, you know, and it's pretty strong reaction. But you know, maybe some of these modern referees, Rob, is by the letter of the interpretation, and
we've got to stop that, Rob, haven't we? We kind of go to that as a reason. Okay, well, it's a level of the way. We've got to stop that because it's ruining the game. It's ruining the game, mate. As you said, West Ham had a shout. We get a better game if West Ham have got 10 men and they can have a bit of a go, and we find a little bit more about Chelsea.
It's ticking boxes, though, Rob. The studs were up. The contact of the position. This is all come from a meeting we had with the PGM at the start of the season. You know, where's the contact on the leg? If it's high up, then you're in big trouble. So when you take everything in insulation and tick those boxes, that's how they must have come to it.
But aren't we becoming almost too forensic, where we're almost going slide by slide of a shot? His foot goes back, his foot goes here, box. His foot goes... I mean, come on. The game's fluid, it's movement, it's contact, it's... I mean, we can watch those things, and I would guess if we saw 10 incidents, we would probably get 8 or 9 out of 10 of them right in terms of he's trying to do him and he's not. Because you know, Rob, it's what you've done for 20-odd years of your life. It's what you know.
Yeah.
Good 3 points for Chelsea. Grabbing that fourth spot now, and we'll, you know... We'll see if they can hang on to things. Thomas Tuchel. I was just thinking, Rob, you know, Tuchel's come in and, you know, circumstances where, you know, that 0-0 first game and Wolves were a bit, and one or two and not sure, he's a bit, can be, you know, a bit geeky and nerdy with his tactics. FA Cup final, Champions League semi-final, grab the top four now. I mean, it's not bad, by the way, is it? But for a guy who hasn't made loud noises and massive changes.
Yeah. Just think how good they'll be if they do get if they do go in for an Haaland or a striker. Mm-hmm. When I look at the attacking players and people tell me there's a ton of attacking talent on Chelsea's side, and there is potentially amazing attacking talent, but the goal numbers are low. I think the top scorer is something like six.
Six, yeah. Abraham is up there, isn't he?
Five, and then yeah. I think Werner's got five, maybe now six. So, yeah, the success is coming on and is on the defensive end of it, and they've only got to get one goal. When he puts that goal, I'm thinking, well, you know, the defensively they're strong enough to see it out, and that's where it's all coming. I tell you, I think they got a chance against Real Madrid. I think they got a chance.
Me too. Because they're defensively well structured, and you know, yeah. Looking forward to that one. Good game. Let's move it on to Arsenal Everton. This, I think this was Friday night, if I remember right. Arsenal 0, Everton 1. I suppose it has to go down as a Bernd Leno own goal from a Richarlison run. And you know, me and Bernd have not always seen eye to eye as the number one for Arsenal when Emi Martinez is allowed to go to Villa. I still can't quite get my head around that. You have to talk before the game on this one, Rob. It was the first signs we saw of the fan unrest taking on another level. There was a lot of Arsenal fans who turned up at their Emirates wanting to make their voices heard about they weren't happy with the way the club had been run by Stan Kroenke and obviously involved with the Super League. We saw some quite dramatic scenes outside the Emirates, and I don't think this goes away that quickly.
No, I think each club's a little bit different, Rob, and we've seen that reaction, which is the strongest one, and some reactions that was nothing. I think, you know, Stan Kroenke, ownership of the club, I think is frustrated fans for many years now. I think if you go back, Rob, the whole end of the Wenger thing wasn't handled great. You know, Emery did great. You know, some players leaving on free transfers over the past. There's kind of a lot of things that have edged the fans to a point where something else happened, like the Super League, and it's like, well, enough's enough. There's less protest. Let's try and get these owners out, which is, of course, really, really hard to do. It's just not a great environment. I want to swing it to the manager, Rob. Just something. And this is just something, again, it's something I felt when I listened to Mikel Arteta. I brought it up with a couple of people, and maybe I'm looking too much into it, and maybe I'm way over the top here and overreacting. I just didn't like his press conference reacting to questions of the football club and what it tried to do. I don't know whether you saw, and maybe it's inappropriate to bring it up, but there was a big room of people, and he didn't really basically kind of say, well, I don't know what we were thinking about doing. This is not right, and competition.
Yeah, he didn't go that strong.
And journalists in the room were like, well, yeah, but Mikel, like, you do think it was the wrong thing to do? Because, you know, it's all about competition. So he said the right things, and there's no bites that make any headlines. And maybe somebody said to me, well, hang on a minute. He's a new manager.
Yeah,
he's got a very passionate job. He doesn't want to annoy his own. That quiets me down a little. That should shut me up, I suppose.
Listen, it's an interesting point. And again, that's why we have the podcast, so we can have a view, we can take a different view, we can put stuff out there. We're not saying we're right or wrong. There might be some listeners, one or two listeners who agree. There might be hundreds who don't. But I think a couple of things on that. I would say when we heard from Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola, their standing at their clubs and their standing in the game gave them a bigger and better platform to do that. So that's one point.
Yeah,
I also think Mikel Arteta is in a position where new owner, new job, hasn't probably gone as well as he could. Do I really want to go too strong?
I know
you get it, but you're right in saying there's right and wrong, though, Mikel. And it's okay. And it's interesting because somebody said to me, we talked about what's happening in different clubs, and I think the first game we saw it was at Chelsea where they stopped the coach going in. But somebody said to me, it's really interesting with Roman Abramovich because he's kind of an owner with credit. I mean, he's put money into the football club. He backed his women's team. And it's different with them and him. You know, Stan Kroenke's very rarely at the games. We never see anything about him. He doesn't look like he puts an awful lot of money into the club to get the signings. How much he's supporting the manager in that structure, we do not know. There's a There's a question mark about Kroenke anyway, and this just took it to another level with obviously the trying to sneak into the Super League. So you're right, and listen, this is another football club, Rob. I'll put in the Spurs bracket where we talked about the next couple of seasons. Some things have got to happen to that. Yeah, it's in the balance, mate. It's in the balance. Just, I mean, you look at them in this game against Everton, by the way. Half the team didn't really look bothered to me, Rob. They don't look that bothered, mate.
Mm. Yeah, I thought, I don't know. I mean, they played some nice football. Right? It's just, yeah, I know.
Come on.
The chances created was like pass, 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 pass. And like we looked at the numbers and I think I've gotten, I think it's like 66% possession. They had three shots on target the whole game.
Yeah,
There's got to be some adjustment to that. I mean, you know, long is it? I mean, they're 10th place in the Premier League right now, Robbie.
Yeah, I know.
Should we be talking more about him being under? I don't feel like it should be, but I think others do.
Yeah.
And whether it should be, I mean, more pressure.
It's a bit like Mourinho, isn't it? He's got a cut, you know, they're in the semi final of the Europa League, so that still leaves things open. And if at the end of this season he wins the Europa, he won the FA Cup, then they won the Charity Shield and Community Shield, then, you know, if he wins the Europa League this year, gets a bye, back in Champions League football, So that's where we are now. I mean, if they get hammered it for argument's sake in the two semi-finals, Unai Emery's teams go and do them over a couple of times, it turns. Robin. I think he's got one season, two windows to start to show more improvement.
Yeah, yeah. And then it will start becoming like, wait a minute, this is it's got to be moving in the right direction. Even if it's slowly, it's got to be moving in the right direction. But anyway, fair play to Everton. Stuck in there. Yeah, we're a bit lucky today. But good for them. That keeps them in the European chase. 1-0 victory for them. Right. They are now eighth place in the Premier League. Let's move to Sunday's Leeds United game, Robbie Earl, against Manchester United.
Nice. Liked it.
I mean, probably a game that I wouldn't have thought there'd be no goals in it. 0-0 finished in a row. Nah. We all know, you know, that this game badly missed the fans. Yeah, for those who don't know, listen to our podcast here in the US. Leeds and Man United goes back a long, long, long way, probably outside football as well. And it's a very, very strong rivalry, Rob, isn't it? And all the things, and we can keep saying this, but having Leeds in the Premier League is so great. But the fans in the Premier haven't seen it yet because they haven't seen Elland Road packed with crazy Leeds United fans that are going to be chomping at the bit and right behind their team and desperate to rival Manchester United. So that being said, did it surprise you, Rob, that we didn't get a little bit more goal mouth action?
Yeah, it did. From Man United's point of view, Rob, I kind of quite liked it though. I don't know if I'm wrong. I kind of quite liked. They matched Leeds. They didn't get overrun. There was no like fallout. That you know. I think to steal a line from Ollie, his team put a shift in. A shift when it's not, you know, not all, you know, they're not relying on moments, Dave. It wasn't the great football day, but they didn't off put a shift. I thought that was a really good, important performance for United to have under the belt. That they can do that as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And they're humble. You know what? They're humble enough to say, you know what, Leeds United, we should dominate Leeds, but actually, they're difficult.
We're
a team, there's some stars in this Man United team, obviously, that are happy to do that. I agree. I thought that was and the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, afterwards kind of said as such that they, you know.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I of course a little disappointed they didn't manage a little bit more quality.
Yeah, because you want the bit. Yeah,
Pogba came in late. Cavani came in late. I'm assuming, Rob, that those two players will start in the Europa League semi-final on Thursday. I mean, I think that's why they rested. But it was a funny game. It was sort of like loads of intensity and energy, runs being matched, and but just lacked that little bit of spark and quality that you want from a game like that.
Yeah, and I did hear, I think it was yesterday, you had a little discussion with Tim and Bex about, Tim's done a really good interview with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, where he was very open, very transparent, very confident. And I think it feels like a little Ollie chat, Rob, just in terms of, you know, you look at Arteta and we're saying things. And I know you mentioned on air, and I thought it was a good word, We're starting to know what we're going to get from Man United, and we haven't done that. That's not been regular for most of the 7 years since Alex left. We've never quite known what we're going to get. It feels like there is, and I said the other week, two or three key proper signings who are first team players that make that team better. Now we're starting to talk.
Yeah, and I think he's growing into the position.
Yeah,
I don't think he looks like a bit of a inexperienced, scared. My goodness, I'm manager of this club. Mm. I just think there's been a few signs where he just looks a little bit more comfortable. Rob, it suits him a little bit. And I'm surprised I'm saying that, because I've been I'm like, wow, is he really manager of this club? And is he inconsistent? Yeah, yeah. Ready for this? And and of course, there's still a part of me that thinks that a club the size of Man United. But I've got to say, and the way the team is adjusted to having a great attitude, work ethic, motivation, still strong, still running for the manager. You know, I want this to be a United team that work hard, and we should never be outworked, was his quote going into this game, and they weren't outworked. Yeah. I think you're right, a little mention, and the team has improved no end, and certain players have improved. No end, and he's handled a difficult Paul Pogba situation. He's made a decision to bring in Edison Cavani that were like, wow, he's kind of old, and it's kind of worked out. He's made a lot of good calls that are working out, and you know, fair play. He's doing a pretty good job right now.
I heard another interview. I don't know if it was after the game or before the game. Somebody had mentioned that they spoke to Ollie, and he sort of said about his backroom staff. So we've got excellent backroom staff, great sports science, all those things. And he said, they aren't all my strengths. He said, my man management is my strength. And I thought that was a really interesting, telling thing for him to say. That I think he, you know, and we know, and he's worked under the greatest that he's probably been in Sir Alex. And we all know that Sir Alex wasn't necessarily that training ground coach. He was the manager. He was the man manager of that group of some, you know, big personalities and players, but he got them playing. And I get the sense that Ollie's starting to see himself in that role and, you know, talk to Pogba, get him on side. He's worked with Greenwood, as you said. All of a sudden, the goals look better. You know, he's got Dan James back in the fold where he looked out. He's got Edison Cavani, whether he's staying or not, motivated to be part of what, you know.
Fred's playing better. Luke's on top of this game.
Harry Maguire, you look around and, you know, the Henderson thing could have been a little bit of an awkward one, but he's made his call and at the moment it's working out. So, you know, like you say, time to give a bit of credit, and just maybe he's worked out, Rob, that at Man United, I can't be that all things to everybody. What's my bit? What's his bit that can he most do? Yeah. And this is my bit, and I'll get other people to do, you know, and that might be why the John Murters has come in and the Dan Fletchers and all those guys, you know, to play their part in it as well. Be interesting now with Ed Woodward on his way out. Yeah. That next appointment is going to be big for Manchester United.
Yeah, they've got time though. They've got time. They've got the rest of 2021, the whole year, the season, he's staying the whole year to figure that out. And that's a good point. That really is important to figure that position out. Okay, let's just move on, Robin, kind of summarize, go through some of the other results here. And I'm going to read them out, and I'm going to pick out one that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Sheffield United 1, Brighton 0. Fair play to Sheffield United. Villa 2, West Brom 2. Wolves 0.
It was a late goal.
That's the game I'm going to quickly talk about, Rob. We talked about it in the studio. Burnley, Sean Dyche, and Chris Wood. Chris Wood is the Robbie Musto underappreciated performer of the week by a mile. Yeah, I mean, underappreciated. I don't know whether I've had him before, but he's a decent, he's a Category B centre forward for the Premier League. He's Category B. Very good, reliable. He's in between 10 and probably 15 goals a season. In a team that's not built to create and score and possess, I think he scores different types of goals. Great to see him slide on his knees and celebrate his third goal today. I definitely mind appreciate a performer. People don't realise he's actually pretty good. In a world right now, Rob, where most Premier League sides aren't sure about their centre-forward. And if they got
it's good for Premier
League scorer. He's a scorer and a regular scorer and a good all-round player for Burnley and had a great game and deserves the credit he's going to get, you know, this next few days.
Is he one of those with the capability to go next level? Is there a next level for Chris Wood? Not that I'm wanting him to leave Burnley, but I'm just saying in terms of what you're saying.
So we're saying a mid-level, a mid.
Yeah, like
so. There's a jump up.
Southampton, you know, different circumstances. Newcastle.
Newcastle. I'm not sure there's an Everton. It's not an Everton jump.
Wolves. Could he be a Jimenez type of
Palace?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there a little tier there? Mm. I don't know. Possibly. But I tell you what,
Burnley. In Sean Dyche, we trust, my friend. If Sean Dyche is picking him, we trust him. And massive win for Burnley that pretty much gives them, I think it's a 9-point gap now down the bottom. It looks all intents and purposes, though. Those bottom three are going to be heading to the Championship. And with that in mind, Rob, I just want to talk about two teams who we probably haven't given enough love to over the last couple podcasts. Certainly it was Norwich during the week and Watford, both now officially promoted back to the Premier League. So first time of asking. Norwich played great football last year. We thought they're just a little bit naive at times, have kept majority of that group together. Danny Fark has come back. Watford, we always know this change, and you know the Potter family and what they do more than any, but
yeah,
not too much change there. Slight change. When I see the team sheet, it's a bit different from what we used to see on a regular basis in the Premier League, but there's a good consistent number of players who are there. They've done it again, Rob, and I think it's so important for those teams, and I'm talking about, you know, the Sheffield Uniteds, the West Broms and Fulham that look like they're going to be done and dusted now in the Premier League, that, you know, if you can keep it together, if you can, you know, get the right manager and start the season well, you can do it first time around, and that's got to be the plan, because the longer you're down, I think the harder it is to get yourself back up there.
I mean, there could be an argument, Rob, for another day on a different podcast about, is it really fair on the other Championship teams?
Because of the money and the difference and things. Money.
They got the parachute payments for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Keep the squad intact because of those payments. They got a great chance going back up again. That's a different conversation that is arguable.
Yeah.
It's the time to do it. It's the time to do it straight away. Go down, boom, straight back up again.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating. Norwich City is going to be fascinating. It's the same. Yeah. It's a very similar team. Same manager. I'm sure.
Timo Pukki coming again. 25 goals, I think, on it. Yeah.
Like we're talking, you know, it's been a long podcast, but you know, it'd be interesting to see how they can do it. Anything different?
Yeah. Same know best. How, a little bit of maturity, know how, a bit more understanding of what might be required. Sometimes digging some results out, knowing draws some weeks are better than chasing games. Just, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see.
Congratulations to them both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so much research for us in the summer, my friend. We know the teams pretty well anyway.
Yeah. We just got one more to come out of or look at the playoffs. Some big news that's come out of the Premier League of this next week. There's going to be a social media boycott by the league, Rob. I think it starts Friday, April the 30th through till May the 3rd. So it's all the match day games of that match week window. It's a collective effort by the league and all the other governing bodies of PFA and FA getting involved and women's football. Just in terms of it, Robert, you know, we have touched on these things, but for me, I can only talk personally, I think it's another important step by the Premier League. When we go back to the start of Project Restart last season and the league took a big stand where they put Black Lives Matters on the back of shirts, they got all the players, referees, coaches all taking a knee, it shone a light, it amplified some of the social inequality issues that were out there, and I think it helped us to start a little bit of a movement. I think now with what we're seeing with all this racial abuse on social media, that again the Premier League are taking a lead and are doing something that's important, that's their way of trying to start conversation, trying to get people around the tables. And I know there's got to be governments and social media companies and people coming. But the players and the clubs, for me, Robert, are at least doing their bit. And listen, this isn't going to be answered. This one weekend of a social media boycott isn't going to be, okay, everything's fine. But I think it helps pursue some of the conversations that are going to try and help us move forward on these issues.
Yeah, I think I think everybody realizes that these social media companies, Rob, they're giant companies.
Yeah.
And they've got a global platform. And sadly, well, more realistically, I'm not sure they're going to be nudged too hard on this one. What I would say is I agree with you. A different light shine on it in a different time to keep the conversation in a slightly different way going forward. I would love to see other leagues in other countries, possibly other teams, do something similar. Because I know for sure that if you're getting some of the entertainment world or some of the American sports worlds, you get more groups that, you know, I'm not sure the abuse is the same thing, Rob. So that might be difficult. But the more people that threaten that, then the social media companies were like, well, hang on a minute. This isn't good for our bottom line, sadly. We might have to do something about, however, using tech or whatever they do, or with registering or whatever. So, you know, it might take something bigger to actually get to those guys. I'm with you, mate. And, you know, I think
it might just stimulate thoughts. It might stimulate actions. It might be companies. Some of these companies who are involved in soccer and sponsorship and football might look at it and think, well, they'll join the cause. And you're right. If we can take it from football to NBA to NFL to different sports. The one thing that we've learned this week, Robert, of all things, is people can make change. We've seen it in the European Super League when we were doubting. We were sitting on that Sunday, and I've got to be honest, I was doubting the football was ever going to be seen. We saw what people power can do. And if we can, you know, if these things can be addressed in the same manner with the same attitude and the same desire, things can change. You know, laws can change. Government can get involved. Governing bodies can get involved.
I'm sure you'll back me up here, Robert. I mean, we aren't two guys that tweet or Instagram much, but I think the right thing for us to do, my friend, is to go along with this too for this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think it's respectful for us.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about this, but.
No, it's the same thing. Yeah. We're lending our voice, and obviously we're quietening our voice for that weekend, but we're lending our voice and our support to the movement. And if a few more people think the same and want to do the same, that's how it starts and that's how we grow it. And it's a good shout. Obviously, something we hadn't spoke about, and somebody, you know, it's pleasing from you that you feel it's right. And obviously, I'll be, you know, right behind you in the steps. So. Okay, my friend, that's it for a pretty busy week of football. European Super League is no more. If Liverpool continue to be as careless, Champions League football is going to be no more for them next season either. In the Premier League, United were held by Leeds. Burnley whacked Wolves. Sheffield United beat Brighton. And Chelsea had a little bit too much for their hammers. It's got to be congratulations to Pep Guardiola and Manchester City, their fourth successive League Cup victory, the first trophy in what they hope is the first of the treble. And look out for our special Two Robbies podcast coming up on Tuesday, April the 27th, when we have a special sit-down with Manchester City linchpin Ruben Dias, who I can tell you is one mature young gentleman who is all business on and off the pitch, Rob. And we had a really interesting conversation with him.
Absolutely. And I look forward to getting together and going through stuff next time. Always busy, my friend. Champions League stuff coming up as well. We'll react to those games as well and all to play for. And I've got to say, I think probably April is my favourite month of the year when you start getting nitty-gritty in the Premier League and those Champions League big games. We'll react as well for those later this week.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.